If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he ain't gonna do it when he knows you got brothers and sisters. People who can identify that lying rascal and pray you through. I'm glad I got people in my life that can pick up prayer for me when I don't feel like praying. That can pray me through when I don't feel like praying through. That can stand by me and hold me up when I want to lay down and give up. If you don't have people like that in your life, you need to get somebody, because God has to give you somebody that'll help you through when you can't help yourself. Down through the years, it's always been a strong point for us as a people. We used to lean on each other. We used to watch each other. We actually adopted and ratified the statement that it took a village to raise a child. Everybody had a hand in me getting to this pulpit. I didn't just get here from Eric and Moselle Lambert. I got here from Miss Johnson, who lived two doors down, who slapped me when I was caught spray painting on the wall. I got here through Miss Draper, who used to watch me when my mother had to go to work. I got here through Mrs. Marrow, who would watch me when mama had to take me to work and keep me out of trouble. If you're going to be anywhere for God, you get there by God having somebody in your life to watch your back. You can't be a lone ranger and be a child of God. You've got to have somebody who's got your back. And you don't need a crowd. All you need is one. When I came up, I grew up in the Raymond Rosen Project area, but I stayed over in the Raymond Rosen Project. That's where my buddies were. And we would go over there, and my friend Andre, his brother Craig, was in the gang, the Valley Gang. And whenever the boys from the village or from Norris Street would come down and isolate one of the members of the Valley, they'd turn around and say, "Yo, yo!" And out of nowhere, these guys would pop up. Why? Because there was a cry that was made. I'm here to tell you today that the power of God is laying there waiting for you to say something. The anointing is stirred up by your speech. Every time you say you're not going to make it, the anointing lays down. It don't move. But when you say, "I can do all things through Christ," the anointing steps up and empowers you to handle whatever's coming against you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Glory to God. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Tell somebody, God's got a plan for you. Woo! When you know that God has a plan, you get what I call Kunta Kinte Christianity. Too many of us have Toby Christianity that came out under a beating or under pressure. But he had Kunta Kinte stability. They said, "What's your name?" Kunta Kinte. He played the game even after they beat him. An old fiddler came over and put water on the whelps on his back. And he said, "Oh, white master, make you say your name Toby, but you know what your name is. You're going to be Kunta Kinte. Don't you ever forget it." You got to have somebody in your life that when the devil gets the best of you, that will remind you who you are. Not somebody that'll give you a shoulder to cry on, but somebody that will remind you that you are a resurrected, born again, anointed, spiritually filled prayer warrior called the child of the Most High God. I don't need nobody to hold my head, tell me it's gonna be all right. Humming slave songs while you're rubbing my hand. No, no, no. I need somebody singing warrior song. Hold me and say something that'll get me to fighting. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never fails. Are you hearing me? Sing me something that'll get me to my victory. Don't baby me. Well, I know the devil is getting the best. No! Get yourself together. You're going through right now, but it ain't lasting forever. Get yourself in praise mode. Ow! When I go to fly, I get in line before they call me. I ain't waiting for the rush. I get in line. And there's people, you're Japhethites, that'll come and try to get in front of me. Then I give them what Darius calls my mean face. I give them my mean face. Then they back away because they don't know. Some things you can get through security. But I position myself so that when I'm called to board, I'm already there. They don't have to look for me. See, what God is saying is, if you know Jeremiah 29, he said, I have a promise and a plan. Position yourself so that when it's time for the plan to be realized, it don't have to find you. You're right there. Here I am, Lord. Lord, have mercy. I preach myself. Do you know God wants to bless you? He wants to prosper you, but you have to know it here. All negative speech must end as of 1:20. From this moment forward, there is not to be any negative speech that comes out your mouth. God does not want to hear, I don't know how I'm going to make it ever again, coming out of your mouth. God doesn't want to hear, well, how are you? I'm still alive. No, he don't want to hear that anymore. God said to have you change your vocabulary. From now on, how are you? I'm blessed by God. Even when you are going through something, you're still blessed. Even, listen, let me tell you something. God keeps you alive because he knows what he's going to do in your life. You join the party. Join the party. Get yourself ready. Because I'm sent by God to tell you that he did not bring you through 2017 for you to fail in 2018. This is the year of increase. This is what God's about to do in the lives of his children. I'm not talking about more money. I'm not talking about a better job. I'm talking about the glory cloud coming to stay at your house. I'm talking about a revelation of the things of God that will bless you beyond your own imagination. I'm talking about God showing you who he is. Principles. Principles. Notice what God says. I know the plans I have for you. You know that? God says, I know the plan. He said, there are plans to prosper you. God don't want to harm you. He says, these plans are designed to give you hope and a future. He said, then you'll call upon me. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit say, take the limits off. Are you familiar with the situation where the man was raising fleas? Now, fleas, they just fly everywhere. They just fly. You can't hold a flea down. He just flies up. Well, this man grabbed a bunch of fleas and put them in a jar. He put the top on the jar, and the fleas kept hitting the jar top. Every time they try to leave the jar, they'd hit the top. And then the man unscrewed the top and took it away, and the fleas wouldn't leave the jar because they had become accustomed to hitting the top. Most of us are in bondage because we believe that the oppression the devil put on us years ago is still there. But he is not that powerful. You cannot sit under this word week after week and stay bound up. You are free. Even if you don't want to be, you free. Because he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Another man, antelope and gazelles, they jump when they run. They run and jump, and they can jump 12 feet high from a standing position. A man tried something. He put a 3-inch gate or 3-inch fence around these animals, and they ran up and stopped. Somebody said, why is it that they did not just jump over that 3-inch fence? And he was told, because they will not jump if they see something in front of them. They have a fear of any obstacle. you might be confronted by an obstacle, and the enemy is telling you that this thing is going to hold you down. Jump over it. God has given you the ability to leap over your situations. You can't be bougie and be a Christian. You've got to be willing to lose your dignity. You've got to give God a jubilistic praise that'll carry you out. Why? Because it's the Father's. Another scientist did an experiment with frogs. Every time he would put the frog in hot water, they jump right out. Because they couldn't take the hot water. So he put them in cold water because they're amphibian. He put them in, and they're like snakes. He put them in cold water, but then he turned the heat up ever so gently. By the time it got to boiling range, they lost the ability to escape because they had been so used to the warm water. That's why God said, come out from among them and separate yourself. Because the enemy will get you used to mediocrity. He will get you used to doubt and failure. You let people in your life and you made them your BFF, and they are draining you of your victory. They are taking away your joy. You've given them access to your phone. You've allowed them to call you and email you. And every time you have contact with them, it dampens your spirit. The devil has you in some warm water turning up the heat. Well, I'm here right now to set your soul on fire. Get out of that situation, because the miracles cannot be done in your life until you get around fellow miracle workers, because like gives birth to like. It reproduces after its kind. You can't stay broke if you're around successful people. You can't stay bound if you're around joyful people. You can't stay depressed if you're around people who get past depression. You've got to surround yourself with people who know that God is God. So what kind of people are they? People that have come through something. Don't mess with the cute Christians who sit in church. They're nice to look at. I don't want them on the broadcast. I want to see the crazy people on the broadcast. I want folk to look and say, what is it that's got that person running up and down like that? Jesus. Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. God sent the snow, but then God stopped it. But then he fixed it so you can get around in it. Nothing is too hard for our God. They got 56 inches of snow out in Erie. We just got a couple of inches. Give God thanks. Nothing that you go through is not without the eye of God keeping you strong. Glory to God. Now sit down, listen. God said to me a few weeks ago, he said, son, my people don't expect me to do anything. When you don't expect God to do anything, it's almost as if he can't do it. That's right, we tie his hands when we don't have expectation. When I come in here, I expect God to do something. I'm talking about for me and in me. I ain't worried about that. I wish God would move you out. I don't care if God moved you or not. I didn't come in here for you. You can sit there and look wise and otherwise. I came in to get my touch. I came in so that I could find my place and get to stepping in my destiny. I believe God's got something for me, and I came to get my fuel and my fellowship. I came to get my fuel from the Word of God and my fellowship with my brothers and sisters, because the Word says I overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony of my brothers and sisters. I didn't come to be an island. I came to be a country. Listen to what God said. Listen, ow! Listen to what he said, verse 14, Jeremiah 29. I will be found by you. God saying, I'm not hard to find. Whenever you call me. Whenever you need me. Y'all know the rest of it's going through my mind. I'm just trying to be saved. I'm trying to talk it through, but so I don't have to sing it out. Glory to God. Here's what God is saying. I'm inviting you to call me. And when you call me, I'll be found by you. You see that promise? God said, if you just call me, just call me. Don't say, oh, my Lord. Say, Jesus. Do you know what happens when you say Jesus? Devils start shaking. When they hear it, they shake. Then they wait and see if you got the right to use it. They go on their Facebook, satanic Facebook, They look and see if you in Jesus's friends list. If you're on Jesus's friend list, he says, I got to back off. They're Jesus's friend. And Jesus said, he said, I'm calling you friends because friends know what the master is doing. You're a friend of God. If you're a friend of God, then you've got his power. You've got his presence. You've got his purpose. You've got his joy. I am a friend of God. He said, I'm going to be found by you. Listen to what he said. And I'm going to bring you back from captivity. Tell your neighbor, you coming back. This is in conjunction with the prophecy of Joel, where he says, I will restore. I sought that scripture. Praise, sought that scripture. Here's what God says. He said, don't tell the people that I'm going to give them back what the devil took, but I'm going to give them new opportunities. Because most of your life is spent in regret of not doing things when you should have done them. So God says, I'm going to let you come around and have that opportunity again. I'm not dropping money on you, but I'm going to give you another opportunity to open that business. I'm going to give you another opportunity to do your tithes. I'm going to give you another opportunity to unlock heaven. I'm going to give you another opportunity to get your health in line. I'm going to give you another opportunity to get your mind in line. I'm going to give you another opportunity to connect with your family. I'm going to give you one more opportunity, and when I come back, you ought to be stronger, wiser, better, and ready to go in. I feel God in here right now. I feel God. I feel God. Woo! When you examine the nature of God, you find he gives you what you need to have in ways that you don't always understand. The Bible says that he led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud by the day and by a pillar of fire at night. One would look at that and think, what's the mystical reason for clouds and fire? Well, when you understand the desert, they needed the cloud to keep the hot sun from burning them up. And then at night, it was so cold that they needed the warmth of the fire to give them the warmth they needed for their bodies and life. Here's what God is saying. I lead you through situations in different ways. If they were looking for the cloud at night, they would have froze. If they were looking for the fire during the day, they would have burned up. What you must learn to do is evaluate where God has you now and realize that I'm going to learn to praise him during negative situations so that when I praise him during positive situations, it's going to look good. You see, I don't have a praise for trouble and a praise for good times. I have one praise that carries me through both seasons. My God, the song that he placed inside of me is a song that I can sing at any time because I know the God who brought me out is the God who's with me while I'm in. Daniel didn't have to learn how to pray when he was in the lion's den. It was prayer that got him in there, but it was God that brought him out. Daniel didn't give up his prayer because he was going through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not fall down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. They said, we are not going to do what you tell us to do. We know our God is able to keep us, but in case he does not, we still are not bowing down. You don't get that kind of faith unless you come out of something. I will be found, and I'm going to bring you back. Tell somebody, you coming back? There's a lady in here right now, and the Lord just talked to me, and you had a relationship with a man, and that relationship was ended, and that man told you you ain't never gonna amount to anything. That man said you need me in order for you to have anything, and you put that November India Golf Echo Romeo out your life. And when you put him out your life, you had a little doubt for a while because you were struggling and you've been struggling. You've been going from one menial job to another, but you're here today. In fact, the devil was trying to get you not to come in today. He was telling you it was too cold, but the Lord had your deliverance prepared because he had a plan. He said, Eric, tell her this. Tell her that though that clown is out your life, it just gives me more opportunity to show you how big I am. And God said, when he begins to bless you, that fool that said that you weren't going to make it is going to call you to ask you for money, because God is about to bless you. You're his child. Just hold on and be a wall. Don't give in to your flesh. Don't call that fool and say, I need you. No, call Jesus. Say, Jesus, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, where? God said, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. I'm waiting for it, child. I'm waiting for it. Everything the devil told you. Doctor told you your situation can't be healed. Don't you believe that lie? Don't you believe that lie? Don't you believe it? I don't care if every medical record says that there's no cure for what you have. I command that you pick up your Bible. My Jesus walked down the road one day and he saw this man. The Bible said he had been born blind. And his apostles, bless their old ignorant hearts, they said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither. But this happened so the glory of God can be revealed in his life. Children of God, listen to me. God did not make him blind just so he could heal him. But he healed him because he was blind. I need somebody to hear me. Don't look at your situation and blame God. Look at your situation and praise God. Jesus then says this. He says it by his actions. He picks up some dirt and he spit on the dirt. Because the Bible said he made clay, he made mud. What happens when he spit? He put his DNA in it. We need his DNA. Anybody that was spit on, I want to tell you something. This is a secret for y'all. I didn't tell nobody else this, but I'm giving it to you before you see it in my next book. Whenever Jesus spit on you, it's for recreation. The man who couldn't speak had no vocal cords. Jesus spit in his mouth. See, we too cute to be spit on. When his anointing comes, I'm not talking about people now. I'm talking about God. You can feel when God spits on you. I had him spit on me and my ankle was healed. I had him spit on me and other parts of my body were miraculously cured. You better go to God and say, spit on me. He'll spit on you in your bedroom. Don't be sitting around talking about, ew, ain't no ooh, nothing. It's come on. There ain't nothing unsanitary about God. Oh, I got the wrong church. I need me one of them storefront churches with hard wooden seats. When Jesus spit and made the clay, he rubbed it, glory to God, on the man's eyes, and then told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. How the man gonna go to the pool? He can't see. But faith without works is dead. What he's saying is, I don't care if you have to get somebody to help get you there. Just get there. You've got to understand that your deliverance sometimes is connected to you connecting with somebody else. You might not have what you want because you're by yourself. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Lean on me if you're not strong. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me. Because the devil's trying to take your mind. He's trying to steal your mind. Coming at you. Take your mind. Fighting you to destroy your life. God says, I'm going to be found, and I'm going to bring you back from captivity. And then he says, listen to this. At the end, I'm going to bring you back to the place from whence I carried you. There it is. Whoop. Listen to what God says. I'm bringing you right back to where you started. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. Listen, but this time when you come back, you're going to be stronger. If you remember in Numbers, they saw the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites, and they said we couldn't go in. When you get to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and 2, God says, all right, you've been in the mountain long enough. Now go back into the land of the Amorites. What's he saying? You walked with me enough. You've learned that I am who I said I am. Now get yourself back down there and take that land. You better leave this church today and take back everything the devil stole from you. You go back into your house and you have a meeting with every spirit in your house. Call every devil and every angel that's in that house and say, y'all, come down here in the living room. We're going to fix some things right now. Angels of God have to respond when you command the environment. You don't command angels. You command the environment. God will tell them, listen to what they're saying. They're speaking my word. Then you tell that devil that's camped in your house, get out. Shut off his access. As of today, he's not having your mind no more. God's taking you off of Prozac and lithium and Equinil. God's taking you off of that marijuana cigarette you need every day. Well, maybe he can hold off on that one for a while. At least till after I have my eye examination. I think the pressure is a little high. The Bible says this, and then we have to go. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, see, your perspective. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come so you can have a life and live it to the full. Are you really enjoying your life or just waiting for the rapture? Listen, when Jesus comes, he knows where I am. I don't need to be in church to be raptured. People thought, when he come, I hope I'm right in the middle of praise and worship. Not me. Not me. I hope I'm right in front of some atheistic heathen who's cussing me out and telling me Jesus is not real, telling me there is no God and I'm a fool for believing. Whoop! I hope God gives me a millisecond longer so I can smile at that idiot and say, bye. I don't want to be in church when the rapture comes. I want to be out in the world. I want to be around sinners who say there is no God. I don't want to sneak away. I want to go away and make noise. That's why Jesus is coming with noise. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. Hope he comes for me right while I'm on an airplane. That I don't have so far to go. But I'm going. Because it's by grace through faith. I can't earn it and I can't keep it. Nobody can pluck me out of his hand. There are those that can make my life miserable, but nobody can pluck me out of his hand. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, then Goliath, verse 4, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, a 200-pound coat of mail, bronze leggings, and carried a bronze javelin several inches thick, tipped with a 25-pound iron spearhead. And his armor-bearer walked ahead of him with a huge shield. He stood and shouted across to the Israelis, do you need a whole army to settle this? I will represent the Philistines, and you choose someone to represent you, and we will settle this in single combat. If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, then you must be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight with me. When Saul and the Israeli army heard this, they were dismayed and frightened. Look at this. Once again, the children of God are frightened because of a voice. What does that tell us? Their perception. They thought. What is the devil after? You go through the searching that they tell you and you discover a lump. The first thing that comes to your mind, cancer. Why is that? Why is that the first thing that comes? Why couldn't it be just fatty tissue? Why do we always think about death? Where is it written that everybody has to die when they have a negative cancer diagnosis? Why do we immediately begin thinking about getting our house in order and saying goodbye to our friends? Because our minds perceive the worst. You think your car is going to be repossessed if you don't pay. Listen to me. Christians worry about these things. Christians love to worry. They enjoy it. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to pay my car. Oh, God. You know what sinners say? Let them come get this piece of car. And here's what they'll say. I'll get another one. They're not even saved. You can have this old house. I don't care. I'll get somebody else to stay with. And they do. You ever notice there's people like that? They just go from one situation to the next and never lose sleep. Never lose sleep. Wind up on your sofa. You praying and believing God, and they up on your sofa asleep. All right, come on, get up and find a job. I'll get a piece of job. They work long enough to get a place. They lose it. They don't care. Here's a Christian. I'm going to lose my place. I'm going to lose my car. Oh, God. And they don't even know your God and have no anxiety. And God is sitting up in heaven saying, if my children lived like that, I could bless them. Who told you you were going to lose it? The bank, the finance company. They said, if you miss three payments, it's mine. But God didn't tell you that. Now, I'm not talking about just willingly not paying your bills. I'm saying if something comes in your life and it has hit you for a moment, you don't think that God can fix that? And he doesn't have to give you income to fix it? That he can deal with them and fix it? But see, we're programmed, listen, to be rescued. We are not programmed to be overcomers. We are programmed to be rescued. Many of you females, not in these later generations, but you earlier generations, you were programmed that you needed a man, that you were not complete if you didn't have one. You were programmed. You had some older woman teaching you how to get the man and hold on to the man, even at the risk of your dignity, because you needed a man. And you came up with that mindset that you were not whole if you didn't have a man. Now, the Bible never said that, because men were not made for women. Women were made for men, which means you can make it without a man, which means there might be somebody that doesn't need your help, but it's in your mind. You need a man. And if you don't have a man, people say, you 35, you 40, and you ain't married? You funny? What's wrong with you? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why? Who told you that? Even Jesus said, marriage isn't for everybody. There's some people that are married that shouldn't be married. They have a bohemian lifestyle. They don't like being home. They don't like reporting in. They don't like contact. Jesus even said it. He said, there's some people, it's not for you. But someone told us that you're supposed to be this way.
But what does God say? You pray, God, give me a husband. God, give me a wife. And none comes. What do you think? God has a dating service? Where he just sitting around like it's a chess game. You, come over here. Join them. And you say, God, but I don't love them. That's all right. You ain't got to love them. Just. That's why we have so many loveless marriages. Because God put us together. But God doesn't give you passion. God doesn't have that gene. His idea of love is not Eros. God's idea of love is bless them that curse you. Pray for them that use you. When people do you wrong, listen to this, feed them. If somebody does you wrong, make them a sandwich. See me after church, I'll tell you what to put in it. That's God's idea of love. Listen to what I'm saying. Your perception of defeat started a long, long time ago. And it's time for a change. You were developed in defeat. If you think about it, you sat around the table and listened to everybody talk about how rotten their marriages were. And so you grew up thinking that my marriage is going to be rotten. And if you aspired to having a good one, and then the people began to put you down, it ain't going to last. Watch, he going to be just like everybody else because ain't none of them no good. They all dogs. And so you grow up. They all dogs. So you keep a separate savings account just in case he run out. Because you've programmed yourself for failure. And God is trying to pull you to success, but you got stuck in a job that brings you no fulfillment. I didn't say satisfaction. I said fulfillment. In other words, your gifts aren't realized. But you need the money. And so every day you go in there because you were taught you gotta work. And that's not the kingdom. The kingdom says you work so you can have to give to others. And God said, I'll supply your need. Amen. When you've been wounded as a child, when you've been wounded in your preteens, you bring it into your adult life. And if there was no healing at the young age, then there will be oppression at the old age. And you will never get over it unless you confront it now and hear the words of this servant of God. And understand that unless you change your mindset and decide that Jesus wants me to live the abundant life. Amen. And take every opportunity. The Bible says you will have what you say. I start my classes tomorrow. They're the last two classes I have to take before I go into my dissertation phase. Listen to me. I printed out the syllabus for both classes. I held them up to God, and I declared a 4.0. The curriculum looks daunting. It's going to require a lot of work, but I held it up to God, and I said, you and I, we're going to handle this. I refuse to allow fear to come into my mind and tell me that it's going to be too difficult. Nothing is too difficult for God. He made those teachers, he made the curriculum, and he made me. You need to program yourself to win. Let me finish. The people there were afraid because of what they heard. They were walking by sight and hearing. They heard the bellicose words of Goliath, the bragging, and they decided we can't beat him. Once again, the children of Israel are saying what we can't do without even trying. But there was somebody there And David spake to the men, verse 26, that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done unto the man that killeth him. And notice what happens when you decide that you're not going to live under the bondage of the devil, and David's brothers start putting him down. Somebody will put you down when you decide to break that cycle of failure and disappointment. From this day forward, as of January 7, 2018, whatever was, but I'm going to be new. David said to his brothers, what I have now done, was there not a cause? And he turned and they brought him to Saul. And he said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll go and fight with him. And Saul says, you are but a child, but he's been fighting since he was a child. And David said, your servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I killed him. Way to go, David. David was a Marine. If he had been an army guy, he would have let him take the bear, and thank God he didn't get hurt. He said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head and armed him with a coat of mail. And David took up his sword and said, he tried to go, the scripture says. He essayed. He tried to go. But he didn't go because he had not proved them. Don't use what somebody else uses. Get your own testimony from what God has done for you. This battle is going to become significant over the next 3-6 months. I was driving down the street at night and I said to God, Lord, it looks dark. I've never seen it look this dark before. I used to walk some of these streets, and I said, God, it doesn't look like it did when I was a child. It just looks ominous. He said, son, what you're looking at is the infestation of the powers of darkness. Listen to this. He said to me these words, they are filling every available space because my people have given it over. I said, why don't you move these things? He said, my people were supposed to move them. You and I are the light of the world. And that light must be reflected in our attitude. My best days are ahead of me. They are not behind me. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever failures you had before today, bury them. But pick up your cross and move forward.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1118P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
presence to